Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Grab a seat. We want to get straight into this. We've got a little bit we'd like to share. Paul isn't with us this morning because he extended his journey just a little bit to do a safari just outside of Kruger. And so he's over there doing it tough. On a safari and whatnot, but he didn't rub it in. He texted me, I don't know what time it was this morning, saying, you know, that he's already seen the big five. Not that he wants to rub it in, but anyway, he's having a great time. And he actually gave me a USB stick, which I threw into the computer this morning and realized, because he was using a Canon camera, the CR2 files for anyone that knows or cares, but my computer wouldn't open them. So this morning, I in part do apologize. The photos you'll see are from the ones which I took with my iPhone, and the video footage is from my iPhone. Next week we'll fill in the gaps with Paul's much better photos, and particularly one area was, and we'll get to it in a minute, when we actually handed out the bikes to the pastors at a meeting one night. It was just a very, very moving ceremony, and it was just, yeah. So we'll have to show you some more images next week. So I apologize for that I didn't have whatever update I needed for Windows 7 to open CR2 files. Does that sound impressive? Almost sounds like I know what I'm talking. I've got no idea what I just said. It was just about half an hour this morning going, what the heck is a CR2? Anyway, whatever. We left Tuesday the 2nd and flew into Joburg, then on to Cape Town. And our contacts there are relatives of Lester and Colleen. And this couple were visiting Australia in 2010. It was out of that relationship contact that just discussions began about Africa. And then we found out Ian Murray's involvement in Lilongwe in Malawi for the last 12 years or so. Just led us on a bit of a prayerful journey about, our global perspective as a church as to areas of the globe that we feel we're called to be involved and serve and assist in any way that we can, because we're so blessed here. And so as a board and church, we started to pray about that, and we just felt very right in that there was an area of the world. And so our two focus areas as a church for our global perspective missions department of the church is currently Malawi and Fiji. And so this was the first time we've ever sent a delegation, people, trip, whatever away. So just very, very exciting. So as I said, myself, Sean and Paul, we took off and we landed in Cape Town, and we're just very, very, very blessed by the hospitality of the South Africans and Colleen and Lester's family. Just so, so good to us, showing us around and taking care of us. So on the Wednesday when we landed, sort of like settling in and met all the family on the Wednesday night. And then on the Thursday, we did some sightseeing and whatnot. Had just had some meetings with people to discuss opportunities within Malawi whilst we're in Cape Town. One of the things we did do while we're in Cape Town, oh, good smiling faces, was this was actually, we had a lunch in Parliament, and this lady is part of the Christian Democratic Party. And just an incredible insight into the history and democracy coming in. It's relatively new, as you know, with the demise of apartheid and so this democratic system that's come into play. Just a fascinating lunch we had with her, and she's just a very, very bright, switched-on lady that gave us some really good insight. So what else do we do? This is just on the steps of Parliament. This is where Parliament walks out each year, we saw the steps in which Nelson Mandela made his first speech. When he came from prison, he went straight to the steps of a particular building, made his speech. So, you know, this is just a little bit of the sightseeing stuff. On the Friday night is kind of like where we sort of started our ministry component. And to be honest, wasn't expecting to really do much ministry, but that kind of changed. And so we were told that we were going to do a youth event on the Friday night. And so we arrived, and there was about 600 people there. And I was told it was a youth event, so I'm kind of geared in my headspace to do a youthy message, and, you know, sort of as I would. And walk in, and there's probably, you know, there's probably 50 to 60% of the crowd were mums, dads and older. And I went, oh, I've got to change my sermon here. And so, but I just wanted to show you the guy that, the young lady you'll see in the middle, Tracy, incredible voice. And we've got a CD of hers, but it's actually one of Colleen Lester's relatives. And the guy that you can see, no, you can't see. Oh, yes, Matthew, the guy up here. That's singing, Tracy and Matthew are the ones that choreographed and put together this whole night, which was amazing. So our first video clip that we'll show was just give you just a bit of an insight into what they put together with these. These kids are not trained or anything. It's just what they put together. So if we can show the first video. So that's really cool. anyone think I kind of stood out a little bit? You're kind of like sort of the only white guy in the room. There once was a white wolf that everywhere. Anyway, it was a great night, and we saw a bunch of people give their lives to Christ, and it was just a real experience hanging out with these guys. Then fast track to Sunday morning, and that's also on the Friday night. And here we go. Sunday, suited up. Oh, yeah. it's old school. This church was just, it was cranking. It was literally like being in a sort of Pentecostal church 10 years ago. The songs and everything like that were just the Hillsong songs of 10 years ago. But, man, they were a tight band. These guys were unbelievable. It was cranking worship.
It's nice. Also, at the end of the service, praise and worship. And honestly, I've got to say, I think it's the first time in my life I've ever actually seen him manifest what I would consider to be genuine, real, just joy for the life and their strength. Because they've got nothing else to hold on to, literally. And yet there's this incredible celebration and joy, just dancing. And I felt very much like a white guy in the room, trying to dance and do their moves. Just wasn't going to happen. But just watching, literally, this is just the joy of the Lord. And these people, I'm learning something new about just pure, just love, and joy, and appreciation for God, and God's joy in people's lives. So that was pretty amazing experience. So the guy you've seen in the picture there, that's Pastor Alex and Jerry, and he's our immediate contact. And so on Wednesday, we have someone out to see our block of money, which is in a particular area 49, and we kind of have a lot of specific measurements, but we were told it could be sort of 40 metres, about 70 metres, so 2,800 square metres, and it's unbelievable, it's just a block there. The area that it's in is, Pastor Edson described, it's just such a strategic area. They break the cables here into areas, and it's not, they're not all next to each other, so we'll have area 1 and area 2 over there, area 27 and this area 1, it's just whichever an area opens up, they'll just call it area where the next number is. So our pocket land is in area 49, and we discovered that there's a whole bunch of dignitaries and parliamentarians, etc., ministers of defense and agriculture are building their homes quite close to where our pocket is, and the Chinese are about to want to actually build quite a large stadium shopping complex, which would be very new and different for Long Lake, not too far from where Alan is. And so Pastor Edson sees it as just a very strategic area, not far out of the actual CBD area, and on the main road, as you'll see in a minute. So this is this is actually on this afternoon, is a dedication of the Wapa Green. And so this is the team that came from distance in Glasson, and they came and just started walking around the block and praying. And the next one, I'm not sure if you know, this is just the team that were there. I've got a close-up picture of the rocks in just a minute, but I'll just show you a quick video clip. That's Pastor Edson explaining the song that we're singing, and just shows just some. As you can see there, it's a foundation stone. They're going for the heroes of faith sector, which is really exciting. So the plans that are proposed for that area will be together by the city town planner who's drawn up, which we're actually not being available for we're having about out in the foyer area there. And, it is mind-blowing as to what our dollar can do. And I think that the reality of our church at the moment is we don't have a lot of free time resources in that we the programs in which we want to run within this local community we don't have people resources that are able to commit to, say, 3 hours on Thursday lunchtime on a feeding program, for example. But I believe, realistically, where we're at as a church, we've been impressed with self and myself. We can actually contribute, whether that's financial or resource equipment, at this point of time to make this significant difference within our community and the student as well, and also for G. So, I think that's the reality of our situation as a church. And I think that, as we're faithful in this, we will be a part of this. And, sort of in terms of the building, you'll see we can actually do it in stages, so that it's actually affordable. And I guess our objective for going is to find out, is this facility really what is needed by the community, the broader community, what function is going to be able to facilitate, within the community and beyond. And because of its strategic location, it's able to have, leaders come from all the rural districts and come. And so photos were shown into it, but on the last night, Wednesday night, when we gave out the bikes, and you might just say, good deal. You have to understand, Pastor Edson said, scripturally, like, you're giving them a car. It was like having 8 cars lined up to say, actually, we've got the next photo. Maybe it's video of the last night's service. You can play that one. And, so we'll have the proper photos of lights this week, but and that was the meetings. So that's about how much light there was. And I just realised something about the African allowing that if they have a PA system, it's like on full blast. That's how you get distortion. There's no distortion pedals. It's just everything up full. Just turn it up. It was interesting. But, those bikes are like giving people cars. Just very straight. It was great in terms of the conversation had with these pastors. They had pastors that got bikes. It was like, it's not their bike, it's the minister's bike. Because otherwise, they might go and just sell it. Leave the ministry and get the bikes. So he said, when we come back in this time, will people come in and see the bikes and then they take it after them to see what we can get out of them. So, they are taking very seriously the partnership and wanting to honour our commitment to them as well, which is great to see. They came up with those guidelines for the pastors, not us. I'm just like, just give me bikes. Don't worry about it. There's no fool. You don't understand. You can't do that. So, relate a lot. And as I said, we were able to have a lot of meetings with people in that facility. If you have any questions about coming to the theatre, we'd love to chat. But no, our fundraiser in a couple of weeks is geared towards making that happen. And people come back from these trips and they go on and on about Southwest Florida and Southwest Florida and all those sort of things. And I could stand here and I could do all of that. But no, I don't think we need to go down that track. I think we need to present just the vision of what is possible. And just us saying that this makes a difference is enough. So, no, I think it's just moved myself, Sean, Paul, so much. We want to run a team next year and we'll let you know about that. It's not so lucky to grow the actual experience. And so I'm actually sitting in that whole process. I said to Sean, I find it really hard because I stand in the work of Steelers and then the next room I can have a preach tonight and preach what I'm back at the college say because I take preaching work very seriously. And so I didn't really get a lot of time to process what I was saying. So I'm sitting on the plane at the time. So I'm stuck in the wrong set. God help me. So, I think the reality is over the next few days and week from now, I'll be able to process it. In those situations, we tell you about what we were able to do, and it's what God's in our hearts, what we're here, because we're not the solution. We're not fixing something. Jesus can do that. But as a church, we think we know that if we're able to put our resources for our life, for these lives, we just have to be encouraged to know just the tremendous difference that that is like to make. So I'm just going to ask Sean to come and just chat for a few minutes about his experience and my own people. Good morning. Just tell you a little bit about Malawi, just some facts that I learned about last night. So I don't know exactly where we come from. Malawi has a population of about 16 million people. They have a GDP of about $14 billion, which isn't much, considering Australia's is about $1 trillion. So they rank about 140 in the world, we rank about 19. 53% of Malawians live below the poverty line, and I'm sure a large percent are sort of hovering on the poverty line. So it really is one of the poorest countries in the world. As Phil mentioned earlier, their currency is a kwacha. And our highest denomination is a $100 note. Theirs is a 1,000 kwacha, or 1,000 kwacha is about $3, 30 Australian. So it just puts things into perspective for the difference in the currency. Our dollar goes a long way over there. So 1,000 kwacha to them is, for those who are doing well, that's a week's wage if they're doing well. And it really did impact me. Look, I've seen many documentaries about Africa. I spot a lot of children in Africa as well for World Vision and Compassion, but until you go there yourself and see it with your own eyes and experience it, it's a completely different story. It was a real blessing for me to be on this trip and to share this with Pastor Phil and Uncle Paul, as that is. And I was Mr. Sean. To all the people we know as a Zungu, which means, white people. If you're not black, you're a Zungu. Doesn't matter if you're colored. Yeah, in Malawi anyway. In South Africa, it's a different picture. But, what I saw in the people was, great humility. They really do have the joy of the Lord, in their hearts. So they have absolutely nothing. And they have great humility and they do their very best to make, the best of whatever they've got. And they really did welcome us into their homes. As Phil said, we were welcome into Pastor Jerry's house. And his wife went all out, if you had people there to help her prepare this meal, what you saw on the table, that doesn't come easy. That to them is a banquet. What they put together for us was a lot of hard work and effort. And, they bring a whole new definition to eating food while it's sweaty and brown. They really have to work hard just to get the food that they put on the table. So we were really spoiled and blessed with what they gave us. We went into Pastor Jerry's house. Now, really, it's made of mud brick. It's got a hard floor, and he's actually done all right. He's got a bit of furniture in his place as well, and some sheets hanging around to cover, you know, the windows. There's no glass in the windows, and it's just a corrugated iron roof. And so, and there's no electricity, there's no running water, you know, there's no toilets as such. It's a very basic place, and we were in the dark. And we were sitting in the sort of the main room there, and waiting for his wife Joy to come in. As soon as she walks into the room, she gets down on her knees and crawls to us to shake our hands. And that really impacted. It still messes me up. I haven't had the chance to process everything. The way that she gets on her knees and crawls to us to welcome us. And again, it's just too fresh. I only arrived last night, so. But I want to talk about these people, because when they see the Azungu, they see us as hope. Again, who are we to come all the way to their land to give them our time of day? But they see us as hope, you know, because in their eyes we have wealth, we have the answers to their problems, we have the solutions. But we wanted to make it clear that it is Jesus that has the answers to their problems. You know, we're here to reflect the love of God, we're here purely because God loves you. And I was given the opportunity to speak Wednesday night before Pastor Bill preached it. When we were introduced by the pastor of this particular church, he spoke to the crowd and it was being translated for us. He made it very clear that the people you see here tonight are very special people. You know, we are very important people. And they're all nodding their heads in agreement, yes, this group of guys, the Azungu, are very special people. But when it was my chance to speak, I wanted to make an announcement. I said to them, there are very special people in this room, and they're nodding their heads, looking at me intently. I said, there are very important people in this room tonight. And they're saying, yes, there are, yes, there are. And I said, there are VIPs in this room tonight, and they're green. But I said, it's not me. It's not Uncle Paul. It's not Pastor Bill. It's you. And the looks on their faces, and I was so shocked. I said, there's no difference between you and me. I said, I might look different. I come from another country, but we're made in the image and likeness of God. And I've flown 26 hours, more than 10,000 kilometers to come here and tell you how much God loves you. That's the only reason I'm here. You know, the answer to all your problems, the answer to whatever it is that you're looking for is found in Jesus and your life. I said, you are precious. You're more precious than diamonds. People pay a high price for diamonds. You're more precious than gold. People pay a high price for gold, but God sent his son, the ultimate price. He paid for you because he loves you so much. And the only reason I'm here is to tell you about God's love. I said, I'm not better than you. We're not better than you. We are your brothers in Christ. We are your family. And we're here to love you. And, it was good to see the looks on their faces, to hear this. I don't know whether, you know, they really get that from, you know, foreigners coming in. But I just wanted to make that very clear to them that we're not better than them. That we're just privileged to be in the land that we are. And because we are so privileged to be here, I feel we have a moral obligation and responsibility, to do something. You know, the poor exist in this world for us to make a difference. We can't say, why does God allow poor people to be in this world, but why do we allow poor people to be in this world? God put us on this planet to care for it, to love our neighbours as much as we love ourselves. So we can make a difference, and we have to make a difference. And that's why I think that what we're doing in Malawi is a wonderful thing. What we're doing in Fiji is a wonderful thing. And like I said, before, I said, there's lots of countries in Africa, but God has turned our attention to Malawi. And let's do our best, mate. It's a whole thing, isn't it? I think it's so open to the lottery of latitude. It's like, you know, why is it that we're living here? I always confronted me with that time and time. Looking at God, why did you choose me? Born in a privileged Australia with this story. And I don't have an answer for that except that what I do understand the struggles of sex is that I take me that responsibility of showing that I'm Jesus and practice spiritual rights where it seems to make a difference. And so, you know, that's what we desire to do. And so, we had some great meetings, as I said, and some of those things rolled around this afternoon conversation, just going, look, you know, how you guys can maintain sustainability throughout the broader strategies for, financial, economic, on those careers, facilities so that we can maintain, not just maintain, but create profit, making venture so we can actually serve communities. And so, we're able to have some great conversations, and Pastor Jerry's got some great ideas that he believes and other people said would work within the area. So the building you'll see within going stages, there's a little orphanage on the property as well. So we could potentially housing for 50 orphans. So that's quite a fair bit the life of Jesus in a very real way. So there's plenty of scope and potential. And I trust that in many countries that we can involve, I think one of our simplistic strategies, where I think we should hold to is, let's just do maybe one or two things that do it well. Instead of, if my heart waits for so many different things, to get involved in so many different things that not really doing well, but rather kind of have focused, intentional strategy about a particular area that people do, that God has brought to our attention. And why would God raise me out of all the countries in the world? And you saw these meetings from people that I met in Canada, that I met from Canada, and another guy from over here, what contacts in Malawi. I mean, it's just phenomenal. The bikes were born, we were at the petrol station waiting for 2 hours, buying ones for business, and not wanting to announce it, otherwise we just had one shop, and we informed from the shop, and we started chatting so we could get contact details, so we can negotiate directly with him for future purchases of bikes, and stuff like that. So, he was very open to me, sympathetic to our boards. And so, God just created all these little divine appointments for us along the way. Which is just fantastic. So the facility can use to train equipment center, the dormitory, feeding opportunities like that for the vision to use it, conferences, seminars, revenue raising, facility as well so that can maintain the sustainability. And so, we're really excited about the information that we're able to gather. I'm not going to preach this long, I just want to read a verse and draw two things out of it. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you've been in Compass this year for our Why Not year, this being, we believe that certainly it was going to be the best year in the life of Compass Church, but also your best year, yes, personally. And I can only stand by the grace of God to say I wholeheartedly and honestly believe that this year has been the best year of this church's life. Does it mean next year is going to be a bummer? No, I agree, we're talking about that it is. The best year yet, which means God wants to build and grow on that. And, we're excited about what God has done. This is what verse has come out on regular occasions to Peter 1:3. You there? Is anyone there? Is anyone else there? Okay, good. You awake? Alright. It's good to Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evildoers. Here it is. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and a self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, godliness mutual affection or brotherly love, and then finally love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if any of you do not have them, you are nearsighted and blind, and you have forgotten that you have been cleansed from your past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These verses, challenging us. It's saying to us, if you want to be effective, if you want to be productive, then take a look at these things. And it says to make every effort to add to your faith X, Y, Z. And so if you want keys to an effective Christian life, to a productive Christian life, we're to have these things. And then it says in an increasing measure. So it's not just attaining it, but we're supposed to be growing in these things. So we're supposed to be growing from our faith. We're supposed to add to that, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, love. And so we're called to judge. It says, if you, so that's what he's saying. We have a choice. Church, we have a choice. That God, in the previous verse, says that it's his divine power that gives us everything. But we can't just sit on a couch and be a couch potato and just expect it all to just fall into place. Faith without works is dead. We know that. And so there is that need for us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because it's his divine power that will come and then actually bless what we do. Does that make sense? So we understand that we've actually got to be proactive in our development and within our growth. And here are some specific areas that we actually challenge to be growing in. And so at the start of last year, we spoke about Genesis 11 going into Genesis 12, talked about Abraham going with his father, and they settled in a particular place. But Abraham heard the call of God. They weren't supposed to stop there. They settled. And I believe that at the start of last year, we called that we as a church are not going to settle. And so therefore, that we use that now transition from the Bernardo town hall to here as part of that. We're not settling there. We're going on because God wants us to grow and develop. It's not about numbers, but it's just God wants us to expand and extend his kingdom. And so I see here there's another challenge for us not to settle, not to be content, not to be apathetic, not to be complacent, not to get lazy, but to go as a church, okay? We want to, in this time next year, as a church corporately, the whole good to great thing, if we all increase in these things by 5% each, then in 12 months' time, as a church, the difference that potentially can make is huge. Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And so if we all are intentional about and working towards increasing in these areas, then I believe if we have this presentation this time next year, we'll actually have pictures of the building done. Because we're actually called to add to our faith, brotherly kindness, goodness, self-control, all these wonderful things. And I think in our practical outworking of those things is the increase of involvement and influence and effectiveness that we'll have within the life of our local community, but also in these communities that we're involved in overseas. I believe these things are measurable. I believe the areas like being able to measure your self-control. And when it comes to our food, well, an outcome of that is that I'm going to lose weight. But it may be in other areas, maybe I just don't fly off the handle as quickly as what I used to get really angry really quick, really fast. But now, you know what? It takes me a little bit longer than I get really angry. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. So these things are measurable, and I believe one of the measurable outcomes of this is not just how it's benefiting my life, but how much I'm actually influencing other lives and the difference I'm making to the broader community. So, I mean, just for time's sake, there's so much more that could be said about these verses, but I would love for you to take them away because they are a personal challenge to each of us that we're supposed to be adding these things, to our life. And if you do this, and if they are being manifest in your life in an increasing manner, you will not stumble, you will not fall. And that you will be an effective and a productive Christian. That's the kind of church, that's the kind of people I believe that we should be. Amen. You might just go, well, that's really basic and really simple. Okay, you tell me, how much have you grown in these areas that you share? How much have you grown? Don't just listen to this as a sermon and just think, well, that's nice. And I actually go away and think, have I actually grown in these areas? I mean, as a church, we're not about comfortability. We're not about just going, yeah, that's a good sermon, mate, well done, and actually not do anything with it. It's harder to lift one sermon out than it is to actually listen to it. And so, like, you know, take this stuff away and go, well, yeah, it's all pretty basic. Okay, that's basic, Phil, but I'm glad because Peter's pretty basic too, because what does he say in verse 12? So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in a tent of this body. So as your pastor, on a regular occasion, I'm going to get up and I'm going to challenge you about the basic things of our faith. Because sometimes we try to kind of like get too complicated in our faith when simply I just need to sit down and have some honest self-evaluation about, am I actually growing in these things? Am I growing in my brotherly kindness? Am I growing in my goodness? Am I growing in my godliness? Am I growing in my self-control? Am I growing in my love? Yeah, so look, there's your homework for the week. Go home, list these things down. Just go, have I grown in this issue? And if I haven't, don't blame me. No, you can blame me because I'm your pastor. So yeah, it's all my fault. That's what the ADC leadership. It's my fault. So okay, it's my fault. All right, but if you keep coming, you're working the opportunity to grow in these things. But when you take the opportunity to do something with it, it's up to you. You can't do that too. There we go. I'm done. That's great. Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord God, we are truly blessed in so many wonderful ways. Lord God, I just thank you for each person that's here this morning that, Lord God, you love us the way that we are. You have an immense, incredible love, as Sean said. Every single person that we got to see this is so very special. There's nothing, Lord God, special about us. It's only by your grace, Lord God, that we can even do that. But this morning, Lord God, every person in this room is incredibly special to you. And you love each one of us so very much. Lord, I'm excited because you love us too much to leave us the way we are. You see within us things that no one else can see. You see within each one of us the precious gifts that you put within our DNA that you long just to be ignited and flared up into action so that they can glorify your son Jesus and make a difference in other people's lives. Lord God, I pray that we would be the kind of people that can read a passage like this and actually take the time to be honest with ourselves and go, am I really growing in this? And Lord God, it's exciting because you say that if we're willing to do that, if we're willing to grow, it's when your divine power comes along and does the supernatural. It's your divine power that comes along and multiplies and blesses and brings favour on those areas of our lives, Father God, that we want us to grow and develop, and that you're there to help us and assist us to do it. We're not called to do that in our own strength. We thank you that you are committed to us. We thank you that you have blessed us. And Lord God, we just thank you and give you praise, Lord God, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.